The information provided in this podcast is meant for entertainment purposes only. Topics discussed are related to weight loss, diet, and exercise, and the views expressed by the hosts and guests are based on their personal experiences. The Weighing In with Patrick podcast is not affiliated with WW International, Inc., and the content presented is not endorsed by, nor should it be considered representative of, the official views or policies of WW International, Inc. This podcast does not constitute a counseling relationship. It does not offer mental health or medical advice. Always consult with your physician or healthcare professionals before making any changes to your diet or exercise routine.
Welcome back to the Weighing In with Patrick podcast. The meeting after the meeting, as we like to say. What follows is the second of two parts of my conversation with Rick, who discusses his experience at WW, how he has stayed with it, being a male in what seems to be the female-dominated world of WW membership, how WW seems to complement his life as a food moderator. And his experience of the Saturday meeting. And following the conclusion of our chat, we're going to play a song that Rick performed. He also wrote it, titled Italian Thanksgiving. And then I'll finish with some final thoughts to discuss a concept that showed up during the course of our discussion, the idea of growth mindset, and talk about the power of the word yet. So sit back, and hopefully this will be enjoyable and informative, and hope you get something out of it. If you would like to be in conversation with me in front of a microphone, feel free to tap me on the shoulder either before or after a meeting on a Saturday morning, and I'd be happy to talk about what we're doing here, why we're doing it, and how you can be a part of it. Or you can send me an email at the inbox, weighinginwithpatrick@gmail.com. And so without further ado, here is part two of my conversation with Rick.
So I remember, I remember you were just talking about, like, you were saying, everything you were saying was just questions, right? And, you know, I remember listening to Tony Robbins' tape, and it was on, just on questions. And he, you know, and he said, you know, the quality of your life is really the quality of questions you ask yourself. You know, because you can ask yourself, you know, disempowering questions or empowering questions. You know, like, why does this always happen to me? You know, how come I can never lose weight? You know, or you could, you know, turn it around, like you said, and start asking yourself empowering questions. How can I do this? How, you know, how can I make this better? How can I have fun doing it? You know?
So one thing that I think is advantageous about having you here. Number one, you're the first guest on the show, this show, on this podcast that I haven't been married to. So congratulations on that. But I think it's also interesting that you're a male.
Yeah.
What has it been like for you being a male? I noticed that we sat on different sides of the room today, and I'm pretty sure that I was the only male on my side of the room, and you were the only male on your side of the room. What are there any advantages, any challenges to being one of two to three guys in the room? Because the other one is Bruce, who shows up fairly regularly. You weren't here today, Bruce. You need to come back. What do you think? Advantages to being one of a few males, challenges to being one of only a few males?
Well, one of the disadvantages on my, you know, my weight journey is, you know, my wife does the cooking, you know, so, you know, I'm always asking her, like, what's in this, and, you know, to try to count points, you know, that's, you know, that can be a little challenging, you know.
I didn't think of that,
But,
Is she plugged into the WWE Matrix coming around.
Yeah, like she'll give me like, you know, she'll start doing like, she started doing like 0 point Fridays, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
I hope you've showed her some gratitude.
Oh yeah,
around that. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Rick's wife. That's fantastic.
Yeah, she's a great cook too. So that makes it hard.
So
she's such a good cook.
So what about just being in the room though here?
Yeah, you know, I've thought a lot about that, like why more men don't attend Weight Watchers. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it works, right? Like that's the bottom line. You know, I think, you know, in general, you know, I think men tend to be known more as, you know, fixers, mm-hmm. you know, and practical thinkers where, you know, mm-hmm. what does it work? Yeah. You know, so I don't understand why, you know, I mean, it's just traditionally women have always gone, you know, done this. I don't, you know.
Have your friends made any comments about, you know, other guy friends that you have? Have they ever said anything about, what are you doing? What do you do Weight Watchers for? That's a girl thing.
No. I mean, I don't think it matters. I'm just, you know, who cares? But I mean,
it's like, I just think mm-hmm. that sometimes guys just they do the roll thing. Like, just get the point, roll their eyes and they're like, oh. You know, it's just there's so many women there, like it can't possibly have anything there for me. And my take is that if you think that as a guy, you can't learn something about losing weight and maintaining weight from a female and vice versa,
yeah.
you're crazy.
Exactly.
And then I question whether or not you really want all the information. And yeah. if you don't want all the information, maybe you don't really want to lose weight right now.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just better for you not to for some reason, right? Mm.
Yeah, like I said, I'm really surprised there are more men don't do this.
Yeah. Again, so just, I'm on a, I think I talked about it in a previous podcast about, I'm on this, it's an online group through WW. You can actually access it through the app in their group section. But it's for guys, and they talk about the studios as being the forbidden zone. That's how they would talk about meetings. Is, oh, yo, I went to the forbidden zone this week and I had to weigh in,
yeah.
and I got out of there really quick, you know. And the experience is, and I had the exact same experience, but it was just once really, where we came in. Courtney and I almost always attend the same meeting, and. One meeting, I got, I think I was down like 35 pounds or something like that. So I got the charm. And I got the charm, and everybody looked at Courtney and said, you know, well, men, it's easier for men to lose weight.
Yeah.
And that is usually, remember how we were talking about like when a doctor tells you, like, you're overweight, my friend, right? And we don't receive that message very well. Well, most guys don't receive that message very well when they're told it's easy. It's just easy for you to lose weight. You know, it's like, well, number one, it was easy for me to gain weight.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, that's what I've heard. Men yeah. take it off quicker, but they yeah. also put it back on quicker.
So research, science says that that's true for like, the very early stages of weight loss, that because of our increased muscle mass, we have a slight advantage in taking weight off faster in the beginning, but then it starts to level out. Then it really boils down to, what are your habits? How much are you exercising? Are you eating your points? Are you holding back on point? Like circumstances, what's your, we forget that. Well, so if losing weight was easier for men, then how come Rick's not a Lifetime?
Yeah.
Is there just something wrong with Rick? Right? Well, that's not fair.
Yeah.
You know, because of circumstances. That's why I try to stay out of bars. I don't drink, and not because I'm just a total teetotaler and you're bad if you drink, but I just noticed that when I drink, it spikes my blood sugar and my appetite goes haywire, and then I'm reaching for stuff that my judgment goes down, my exactly. insight goes down.
Well, it's
and
like
then
being tired.
So, yeah. I just start eating crap. But you know, I just think it just has this like connotation that it's mostly for women. What has been this time around? What do you think, other than you've just kind of taken ownership of, or as I like to refer to it, extreme ownership of, this is now my lifestyle until I'm in the ground. What else do you think has gone into your ability to hang in there for 2.5 years? Stick with it, to keep analyzing the data, keep trying new things. What's going on? How are you doing that?
You know, I think, you know, again, going back to the, you know, just the encouragement every week and support. And I remember when you first lost 100 pounds mm-hmm. and, you know, and they asked, you know, how you did it and everything. And I think you said you just didn't quit.
It's all data.
Yeah. And that's what I want to do. I want to actually mm-hmm. about 100 pounds I want to lose. I think a couple more pounds after that to reach my lifetime. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, so that's, you know, that's my goal. And I mean, when I heard that really encouraged me a lot.
Yeah. I just think, you know, thank you for that. That's nice to hear. Once the weight has come off, I think the drift starts before. The drift begins in your head.
Yeah.
You have it in your mind. I used to, when I say you, I mean me.
Yep.
I would have it in my mind that once I get to that point,
mm-hmm.
I'm normal. All my problems that I've had in the past with losing weight will dissipate because I've achieved the weight. Mm-hmm. And if I've achieved the weight, that means I'm normal.
Yeah.
I'm like everybody else out there, all the normie eaters out there, right?
Mm-hmm. You still need to practice.
So like I started practicing in my head, what was it going to be like the day I hit my goal weight? Is it going to be this huge celebration, or is that just another Saturday? And I just had it in my head, it's going to be another Saturday because I got to come back the next week.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back the next week after that, and then next week after that. What I think I need to shoot for is just balance. I've never had balance. And I'm more balanced now than I think I ever have been.
Yeah, I've been learning that a lot lately, too.
You know, what's balance mean for you in your life?
I said, like, with, you know, my music, you know, mm-hmm. I write songs and I play out a lot. Mm-hmm. And I got, I had like 4 shows in 1 week, you know. So, I mean, I took the week off and I was practicing like crazy. And yeah. I mean, my fingers started like tingling, you know. And even like maybe a week or so after that, you know. And hopefully I didn't do permanent nerve damage, but it just got like that became my focus, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. And I was neglecting a lot of other things, you know, work and different things. It was just, and so now, you know, and I would go to, I mean, I could literally go to probably 3 different events a night, you know, friends that are playing out and different things. And mm-hmm. I know people that do that, you know, and, but you know, you can enjoy it and still do it, you know, once a week or every couple of weeks. So right. I've actually taken this whole month, actually a couple of months off music completely just to kind of reevaluate and see what, you know, when I got back into it, how could I just keep that balance? You know,
right.
Maybe like I said, once, you know, a couple of things a month or, you know, something I can enjoy, but not get mm-hmm. crazy with it like that, you know, like everything else I do. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
So what,
you know, now I'm probably getting too much into work. I'm
like, you know. Well, you know, that's the struggle, isn't it? It's just trying to figure out when one area of our lives is getting too much focus.
Yeah.
And how do you know when you're out of balance? What are the signs, and are there any voices that interrupt you and say, Rick, have you noticed you haven't come home from work and I haven't seen you in 3 days? Like, is your wife able to identify those times when you're out of balance, or is it just, well, that's Rick, he just kind of fades in and out of.
Well, you know, for years at my other job, I was, you know, I was coming home at 7:30 every night, you know, it was like dinner's in a microwave, you know, it was, I mean, now I'm actually having, spending time with my family, and because I'm home at 4:30, 5 o'clock.
What's that been like for
you? It's great.
So, what's the best part of that?
Different world, you know, like I said, I have, you know, more time with my family, I can actually walk my dog, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, do things that I enjoy and relax and, you know, self-care, you know.
Do you think that your weight loss journey has impacted your ability to identify those important moments, like spending time with family and seeing things that maybe normally you wouldn't have seen or noticed, I guess is really the better word.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I think, I definitely feel better, mm-hmm. you know, when I stop and think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, more of a, you know, positive mood and everything, just from, you know, from losing the weight, you know,
yeah,
I just feel better. You know, instead of, like I said, every time I bent over to tie my shoes, I can remember, you know, you forget about those things, but when you think back, I was like out of breath just trying to do that, you know.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, wow, you know, so already, I mean, even though I lost 30 pounds, I mean, it's made a difference,
right,
in the way I feel.
Is there if you don't mind sharing it, again, you don't have to share anything you don't want to, is there a particular memory you have that, as it relates to your weight, that like, oh yeah, that was the worst, that sticks out in my mind as just being the worst moment of my life related to weight?
I can remember a time in my life, and I'm not sure when it was, but where I just had no self-control at all. You know, I mean, I can remember just going into the store and just buying a bag of chips and a, you know, I would get like thing of Swiss cheese, you know, and just just eat it, just keep eating, just keep going, just eat, you know,
feed the beast.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I had no, you know,
for no reason, just to do it.
Just, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, every single day, I would go wherever I would go to the store. You know, I would get just eat a whole bag of chips like it was nothing. Just keep. And so, I'm not sure exactly when that was. Maybe right before, even before I met my wife, or you know, but I was just in that place where I was. And, you know, so it's good to be able to still enjoy food.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I love about Weight Watchers is you can still enjoy food and not, you know, you're not restricted.
Right.
And
are you a moderator or an abstainer? You know what we're talking about with that, right?
Yeah. Like,
so moderators are the folks that everything's on the menu. There's nothing I can't have. I can enjoy everything. I just have my limits. But abstainers, I'm an abstainer, which means, yeah, you're not going to catch me inside of a fast food restaurant because they've got point-friendly menu items, right?
Yeah.
Because
no, I'm moderated, definitely.
Okay, yeah, I'm an abstainer.
Yeah, that's what I like about excuse me, Weight Watchers is I'm you know, my mindset is more, what can I eat? Mm-hmm. You know, not what can't I eat. Mm-hmm. You know, I can have two slices of pizza, actually, because, I mean, that's, you know, I have those 18 points.
It sounds like you really respond to the power of having a decision to make.
Yes.
That is entirely your domain.
Mm-hmm.
You can.
And I still eat healthy. I eat fruit for lunch and
See,
but I could do both. You know, it's not one way or the other.
I don't understand people like you. So I just have to respect. I have to respect people that are able to put the brakes on when they want to put the brakes on. That's great. Yeah. And you should keep doing that.
I don't know. Like I said, my wife, she can eat half a bag of M&Ms and just fold it up and put it away.
Look,
I don't know how you do that.
I've never met your wife. And now I don't want to meet her. I don't like her just from that description.
She only eats. I mean, she's a wonderful person. I mean, that one fatal flaw.
How dare she? This is an outrage.
But I mean, she'll only eat the folded potato chips.
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
Well.
So I got a song called An Italian Thanksgiving. And it's my mother sent me a meme on Thanksgiving of a little old Italian lady, and it said, "You wanted me to make a turkey for Thanksgiving? Okay, I make a lasagna." And I do a little Italian accent with it, and it's a pretty funny song. And if you do a Google search for Rick Bethel, that's my stage name. You'll see Italian Thanksgiving come up.
That's awesome.
If you want to check it out,
awesome.
It's a pretty funny song.
Well, so we've been going for about an hour and 20 minutes. How has this been? What do you think of this experience?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
What would you tell somebody who comes to you and says, "Rick, I've noticed you've lost weight. How have you done it?" You tell them Weight Watchers and they say, that's not for me because whatever the reason. What would you tell them why Weight Watchers seems to be effective?
Well, yeah, I was thinking about this week, you know, and I mean, it's based on biblical principles, whether you're, you know, whatever religion you are. Mm-hmm. I mean, we come here once a week. We have a preacher, Sherry, you know, so there's a lot of similarities.
It is kind of a lot of similarities.
You know, everybody kind of, you know,
the Saturday service
encourages each other and you know, builds, and, you know, that's part of, you know, mm-hmm. That philosophy. I mean, accountability,
community,
you know, so yeah, that's, you know, time tested principles, whether, you know, like I said, you know,
support,
yeah, all that, you know, so
everything's on the menu.
Yeah, not everything is beneficial, but
it's doable long haul.
Yeah.
What do you think has been, what do you like most about coming to the Saturday meeting specifically?
Like I said, you know, it's always something somebody shares, you know, even if I get one little thing, it'll make me think a little bit different about something, or, you know, encourage me in some way, or, you know.
It's funny you say that, you know, like, there's, and again, it's not a knock on anybody who does this, but, you know, there's folks who come, I think, every Saturday, and they never share much, right? Mm-hmm. Which is totally cool.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's like going to church.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
not everybody gets up there.
You know, I have to go back the next week because I forget. You know?
I wonder, though, what gems they're holding back on. You know? What mm-hmm. are they sandbagging us on with? They mm-hmm. probably got some great stuff to share. Mm-hmm. And to your point, like, there's not a meeting, I don't think there's been a meeting I've attended since 2021 that I haven't gotten at least one little thing out of.
Absolutely.
You know, at least one. I didn't walk away from that meeting with at least one piece of knowledge that I'm bringing with me.
Yeah.
You know, an idea, a food hack, a suggestion, a mindset stuff. Like, it doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah.
Everybody in that room, number one, I think they're all high quality people.
Absolutely.
Everybody seems to be just a fantastic person. I really have come to rely on the group itself. Just the presence of the group, you know.
But, like I said, for years I've been, you know, I listen to a lot of, you know, motivational speakers. I've been to see Tony Robbins mm-hmm. four times.
And his teeth.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, if you get one or two things out of that, you know, you'll be mm-hmm. there a whole day seminar.
Sure.
It's worth it. You know, I mean, I went to a motivational seminar with my son last weekend, mm-hmm. last Saturday, and, you know, it was an all day event, but, you know, really pumped you up. But, you know, there's a couple of things, little nuggets that you stick in your head,
right.
and you know, like, hey, rock star, you know, that kind of thing that I was talking about before.
Hey,
you know?
Rock star.
Yeah. You know, there was a guy up there, Nick Wojcik.
Mm-hmm.
He was born with no arms or legs.
Right.
He has like one toe on one deformed foot. That's all he had. Any other one's just a stub.
Right.
And he said,
and it's just at the bottom of his torso.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And he said, you know, he goes, I was, I'm not disabled. You know, he goes, I may have a handicap.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, but I'm not disabled.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, I prayed to God to give me arms and legs, you know, and he goes, I still believe he will. I said, I keep shoes in my closet. You know? He goes, but I'm not going to let that stop me.
Right.
I mean, he's married to a beautiful wife. You know, he was born with no arms or legs. You know,
he's the only person that doesn't know he's missing all that.
Yeah, he has five beautiful children. Mm-hmm. He's gone skydiving, scuba diving. I've seen him play golf, baseball. I mean, you know, he goes, I didn't let my disability stop me.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, what's stopping you?
I don't like him.
But then he did what we talk about all the time about, you know, little growth, you know, small steps. He was up on a platform because he's not as tall as everybody else. So, but he went from one side of the platform to the other and walked across it. And he said, this is how I did it. Mm. One step at a time.
One step, right? It's just one step, isn't it? Mm. Like, yeah, that's something.
That was the one biggest thing I took out from that. You know, it was great.
Is there any particular sage words you've heard in a meeting from one of our tribe mates that sticks out?
So much. It's hard to.
Yeah, it's tough to narrow it all down.
Yeah. You know, I think the biggest thing is just being there. You know?
Yeah.
And just, you know, knowing that you're not alone. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And sometimes I think it's just me that, you know, struggles with all this stuff. And then you hear it other people. And, you know, mm-hmm. like we were talking about, you know, with, you know, ADHD, you know, D, we both mm-hmm. think we have it. And, you know, yeah. well, you said you were diagnosed. But
oh, I know.
You know, but it's good yeah. to hear, you know, you were talking about the symptom. And I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, I think that's me. I thought yeah. I was the only one, you know.
Yeah.
And it's good to know that, you know, a few other people have gone through it and they've had ups and downs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and just that is encouraging, you know.
So let's say somebody is listening to us right now. They are discouraged. They don't know if they're going to continue on. What are some, how would you encourage that individual? What would you tell them?
You know, just to, I guess, maybe say, you know, I've been there and you know, I've gone a whole year where I didn't lose. And, mm-hmm. you know, just don't quit. I mean, that's bottom line. I mean, that's, you know, that's what you said when you lost all the weight. And that encouraged me a lot. Mm-hmm. Just don't quit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
you know,
we all hit that moment, right, where it's like, is this worth it to me?
Yeah.
And my take is this, kind of like what we were saying earlier, you know, I asked you how many different diets you were on. You told me I'm, you know, every one of you lost weight with, right?
Yeah.
I believe everybody that comes in this room has lost weight before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you can't do it.
Yeah.
Right? It's just you haven't yet accepted the fact that maybe you've got to make additional changes to keep it off once you lose it.
Yeah.
Right? That the secret, it's not a secret.
Yeah.
It's just you got to have to, soon you will be in a place where you can receive the message of what you need to do next. But yeah. if you walk away entirely, you're just going to kind of fall behind. And why put yourself showing up at the destination a day late when you can arrive on time by not getting off the train?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And there's going to be ups and downs. You're going to fail. You know,
that's
you
right.
know, Babe Ruth, he hit the most home runs at one time, but he also had the most strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. You know, it's just, you learn, you know,
yeah.
you just keep, you know, like I said, right now, it seems like a lot. I'm at the point where I'm steadily going down because everything's starting to come together, mm-hmm. you know, and,
do the math. If you averaged it out week wise, how many pounds you've lost per week, right? And you use that average to project when you might hit a lifetime based on that trajectory, assuming that it stays that way, okay?
Yeah.
Is the time it takes between now and then going to be worth it for you to hang in there?
Yeah, I mean, what other choice do I have?
If at the end, in other words, I had to ask myself a question like, if it takes me 4 years to lose 100 pounds, is that worth it? I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. List the reasons,
mm-hmm.
right? What is it about that 4 years you're going to get? What's the payoff?
The benefits,
there,
yeah.
Right? What if you get to a point where you only lose, let's say the most you lose is 1 pound less than what your goal weight was. Mm-hmm. Would that be worth it? Or do you absolutely have to hit that goal?
Yeah.
What if this is the most weight I would ever lose, but I continue doing what I'm doing? Can I be okay with that?
Yeah.
I kept answering yes to that stuff.
At least I'm not gaining it. Yeah.
And so the last 15 pounds of my weight loss period took me a year. Took me a year to get that. Took me 1 year to lose the hunch.
Yeah.
Another year to get rid of 15.
Wow.
And let me tell you something. I don't want to hear it's easier for men.
Right?
Yeah. Like, that was I had to combat that. I had to combat that thinking. This, what a waste of time. The, you know, screw this. What's the point? And I'm like, well, do the math, dumb. You've lost 100. You've got 15 more to go. If it takes you 13 years to get that extra 15 pounds, well, you lost 100 pounds.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Things were fitting. Things were fitting better. I was more confident. I was doing things that I don't normally do. I wasn't having anxiety attacks getting onto an airplane.
But I remember, you know, I used to run, and I was mm-hmm. I was training for a 5K in the Reindeer Romp in Rock Hill.
Yeah.
My daughter mm-hmm. was in the Girls on the Run.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the first day I ran, like, you know, 10 seconds. And then, but, you know, I eventually built up to, you know, 5K.
That's right.
You know, I mean, I ran, my goal was not to finish dead last, which I probably finished in the last 10%, you know. I mean, she pretty much walked the whole thing, and I jogged mm-hmm. about the same speed. I think mm-hmm. I heard you talking about that at your podcast, that you, one of your podcasts, you would, about your jogging, about
yeah,
the speed of walking. You
know? Yeah. People, yeah. Are, yeah, but I'm just kind of like, yeah. This is better than sitting on the couch.
Yep. But I was like thinking to myself the whole time, like, all the benefits,
mm-hmm.
right? In fact, I started, like I said, I'm going to count to 100. I don't know where I came up with this, but and what, number one, okay, you know, I could lose weight doing this. Number two, you know, I'll have more energy. Number three, you know, this, you know, I'll get to run this race with my daughter, and mm-hmm. you know, and just keep going. I just kept going down this list in my mind, and you know, that kept me going. You know, just, you know, focus on all the benefits. You know, I mean. And I haven't done that with Weight Watchers, but it's a good idea to write like a list of, you know, whatever, 100, you know,
yeah.
and all the benefits. And
like,
and,
yeah,
and
what, look, what's you the know? Saying? Sometimes, like, you shouldn't be looking back with regret, right? The times you should be looking back is to estimate how far you've gone.
Yeah. I like what Tammy says, like, don't look backwards. You're not going there.
Yeah, right.
That's a good quote.
And you can't go back. All you can do is learn from it. In case you end up in a similar situation, what can I do next time, right? But like, here's a healthy here's Patrick's health information tidbit of the day. Do you know that healthy cholesterol is increased through exercise? That when you are exercising, you are having a positive impact on your healthy cholesterol levels.
Whichever one that is, I get HDL.
That is, I think that's your, is that your, yeah, I don't know.
I always get it.
It's your healthy cholesterol. Yeah. That's
the one. It's like blood pressure, systolic, diastolic. I don't know which one's which.
Yeah. Well, all right. So is there anything you're like, why didn't you ask me this? Is there any questions you think I could have asked that I didn't?
Yeah, I think it went well.
Well, I want to thank you for spending about 2 hours from
didn't seem like
the
that.
End of the meeting to the setup, and we've done about an hour and 36 minutes at this point. And what would you tell somebody who has been asked to be on this little podcast of ours? And it's, oh, I don't think my story's worth it. What would you tell that person?
I think it was a good experience, you know. Just talking back and forth with you, you know. I mean, even just getting to know you a little better, you know. Mm-hmm. We see each other at the meeting all the time,
right.
And we share, and we say, you know, hello, goodbye, and mm-hmm. and you know, sometimes we'll talk a little bit, but I mean, it was just even the talk we had before the meeting, we were mm-hmm. talking about, you know, both of us had ADD, and you know, it was really good to get to know you as a person, you know.
Hopefully the, you know, I think our last episode had like 19 downloads. We're really growing. It's a growing podcast.
It's good.
But the idea is that those folks get to know whoever's on a little bit better for those exact reasons. That's the idea, is to, this is a platform of just added support.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to really, truly thank you for being on. And his name is Rick, stage name Bethel. And Rick, are you going to be performing anytime soon, anywhere?
Not soon. Well, October 25th in Catawba Coffee, I'm going to be playing. That's the Medic show.
All right. What time do you know?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, October 25th at Catawba Coffee. Where is that?
That's in Catawba.
In Catawba, South Carolina?
Not in Catawba. I'm sorry. Not Catawba.
See, it's a good thing
it's Catawba Coffee. I'm sorry. That's my ADD going on. It's in Mount Holly.
Mount Holly, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. If anyone needs to get in touch with you to ask you a question, is there an email address they can reach out to you with?
Sure. NormanVP@AOL.com.
All right. His name is Rick. He is guest number one that I've not been married to, and I hope this has been an informative time for everybody. I hope this was entertaining, and I will be back in a couple short seconds with some final thoughts. Rick, thank you.
When I was a kid, every Thanksgiving, we never had a no turkey. A thigh and a full was our tradition. My mama was from Italy. An Italian Thanksgiving, Italian food was all we ate. That's what I call living. Lasagna piled on a plate. Mama's cooking and smelt so delicious. It made me start to drool. Baked the ziti and a spaghetti. And a pasta bazool. An Italian Thanksgiving. Whenever Mama would repeat. Mangia, mangia. We knew that it was a time to eat. We started out with an antipasta and some garlicka bread, salami, a pepperoni, and a glass of wine, white or red. An Italian Thanksgiving. No cranberry sauce, it's shaped like a can. Just Mama's homemade marinara with fresher tomatoes strained by hand. We didn't want no mashed potatoes and a no stuffing, please. We'd rather have it stuffed to shells, stuffed with a ricotta cheese. An Italian Thanksgiving, macaroni and manicotta. We didn't watch the game, cause eating was our favorite sport. Once we might have had some turkey in the stuffing. Nah, I seriously doubt it. I mean, not for nothing. Ah, forget about it. An Italian Thanksgiving. Eggplant and a chicken parmesan. And Mama's famous meatballs made it great to be Italian. And for dessert, man, holy moly. No pumpkin pie with the whipped cream. Instead, we had a cannolis and a Napolitan ice cream. An Italian Thanksgiving. Italian food was all we ate. We was on an eating mission, and we always cleaned our plate. There was enough of leftovers for 3 days after that. We all had a food hangover, and everyone I got extra fat. An Italian Thanksgiving with Uncle Tony and Grandpa Joe. And Uncle Louie out of prison, being Italian, I made us so thankful.
Well, you just heard Italian Thanksgiving, written and performed by our very own Rick. You know, I really enjoyed my time with him. And while editing, I noticed that I didn't ask him even a single solitary question about his love of music or how he got started playing guitar. I'm a big movie fan. And one movie in particular that has always been a favorite of mine is a movie called The Commitments. It is set in Dublin, Ireland, and it is about a kid on the west side of Dublin who decides that Dublin needs a soul band with, 15 different members, including a horn section and backup singers. And there's this great montage scene where he's interviewing potential members of the band. And the question that he seems to ask them is, who are your influences? And the next time I interview Rick, I think I'm probably going to lead with that particular question. That being said, in part one, Rick brought up the idea of growth mindset. And that led me to take to Google and do a little research on from where this idea might have come. And growth mindset is a concept developed by a psychologist named Carol Dweck. And she wrote a book entitled Mindset, The New Psychology of Success. And yes, I am currently reading it. And I think Rick is a great example of how change in how we think about failure versus success. He verbalized how he focuses on what he can eat, not on what he can't eat. That his goal to lose 100 pounds, and he doesn't spend time beating himself up, but seems that he looks for ways to improve or get a little better at things. And he shared at a very recent meeting that after several years of not being able to wear his wedding ring, it has finally taken its rightful place on his ring finger. And he held up his hand to a round of applause. And, there was probably a time where getting that ring on his hand was just an idea. Oh, geez, I really wish, or I haven't worn my wedding ring in a while. And, maybe he had said something like, I want to wear my wedding ring, and it doesn't fit. And somewhere along the line, he probably added the word yet to that sentence. I haven't been able to get my ring on my finger yet. What if every time you started to beat yourself up or become overly critical with yourself, you added that word in, yet? I didn't lose that first 5 pounds yet. I haven't gotten the hang of tracking everything yet. I think this invites the person who uses that word. It encourages them to set out to develop a skill, to make it okay to not be perfect, to not have developed a full skill, and to take a closer look at how certain habits might be impacting particular outcomes. And if you could start to add the word yet into the mix, how might that begin to change things for you? Would it change anything? Where is the most helpful for you? The most helpful place, that is, for you to add the word yet. There's no magic pixie dust here, this weight loss thing. There's no easy fix. You can take it off in a heartbeat. You can take it off real fast, I suppose. But are you going to keep it off, right? This is an evolutionary process. And first we learn how to lose weight, and then we set about figuring out how to stay at a healthy weight, right? And that can be a trial and error thing for some of us. And, being self-deprecating in front of others to hear them contradict you, to correct you. Oh, no, you're doing just fine. I think that just encourages people to be self-deprecating. And it doesn't really help you get closer to where you want to be. Take charge of those negative thoughts. Turn them on their ear. Add that word yet. You're the best hope you have of becoming the person you were born to be. And maybe you haven't been that. None of us have. I haven't. Yet. I want you to be on the lookout after you've listened to this episode. Episode 6 is going to feature our friend Kathy Mason, who we all love dearly. At her Saturday meeting, she talks about growing up in Detroit and talks about her family of origin and her experience with WW. And it was 90 minutes simply was not enough time for us, right? I think it never is. That's true with Rick as well. It's just simply not enough time to get all of that really good information. And so hopefully we'll be able to sit down again with Kathy. But that too will be a two-part conversation. And so if you would like to provide us with a little feedback, make a suggestion, or maybe even offer to share your story, send me an email to the inbox, weighinginwithpatrick@gmail.com. You can also find me at the Saturday meeting almost every Saturday. I'm usually there 30 to 45 minutes ahead of time and usually stay a little later just mingling and chatting. So I'd be happy to talk with you and try and convince you to sit down with me and share your story. So, in the meantime, I am Patrick Hall, and I want you to know that you can do it. Hang in there. Get out of there, Bear!